Blog Talk Radio.
And we are back, people. Welcome to Fox Sports Radio, Soul and Sports, presented by BDSIR Radio Networks. And I am your host, Mike Knox. And for the next 2 hours, we are going to sit here and entertain you because it is the best and worst of the weekend, people. And when I say best and worst of the weekend, I mean, it simply goes like this. We had a lot of things take place this past week. And when I say a lot of things took place this weekend, I mean a lot of things took place this weekend. So we're going to break down the NFL wild card weekend. Was it what you expected? I mean, it's what I expected. We're going to break down the divisional round of the playoffs. But first, the particulars, people. 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. And as I always, if you don't know, you're about to find out. Simply, this is where Barbershop Talk meets radio, the shows the pros and the icons listen to. And I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I wear it simply this way, people. It's cold outside. And I'm saying it's cold, I don't mean it's like, you know, cold. I mean, damn, it's cold outside. So we're going to break down and ask you, what was maybe the greatest event you ever attended or you participated in this cold weather that we're having this year and this new year? Also, as I just said, we're going to break down the NFL playoffs. Also, question, if you not have heard, you're going to hear today, Charles Barkley in a cross interview spoke about Kevin Garnett borderline being a Hall of Famer. Do you agree or do you disagree? James Harrison, where does he rank to you in the linebacker core of the NFL all-time list? College football playoff championship is tonight, a rematch, a rarity, a rematch in college football for the national title as Alabama takes on Clemson. And also, shout out to James Madison University. Oh, how I love the JMU, excuse me, Dukies, as they are the division champions in college football, Division 2A championship winners. I've been with that team pretty much the entire year, and well deserved. We're going to say a Richmond versus JMU championship, but it was not to be that way. But congratulations to the JMU Dukies all the way out there. Man, that was a long ride. I rode back and forth to that place so many times. But as always, we're also going to talk about, it is Monday, WWE, and where the landscape of wrestling is today, people. 347-637-3859. Well, as Little King would say, let me introduce to you my crew. All the way from Miami, he is the host of No Foul Play. He is the host of The Hour and Power in Sports. And just to make his boat float a little bit, he is the aficionado of MMA, most importantly, the UFC. What's going on? Hello!
What's going on, Mike? Happy New Year. I haven't talked to you really since
the last show that we did about almost, can you believe it's almost 2 weeks? 2 weeks since we did the top 25 females in sports and entertainment. It's crazy how time flies. It really is. And we had a fantastic show. So everyone go back and watch it and listen to it on demand. But what's going on, Mike?
I am doing great. I am doing wonderful. I am doing fine. Like I said, it's cold as hell outside. Also, welcome into the program, Emmy Richard on the Twitter. He likes to poke the bear, and I ain't talking about, well, you know what I'm talking about. What's going on, Micah?
What in the world was that about? But that's all right, man, because I'm still short and stout, because I got rhymes and dropping dimes like Ben Roethlisberger was doing, man. These things should be a crime. These games this weekend. And, yo, thank you for the shout-out from James Madison winning a college football championship. That actually has a real playoff. Anyway, with that being said, brother, it is good to hear from you again. How are you doing, Mike Knox, my good friend?
I am doing great. And in honor of the Golden Globes last night and the wonderful, wonderful speech, in my opinion anyway, by Meryl Streep, I want to talk about how, of all people, Dana White is blasting her after her Golden Globes speech as she took a dig at MMA. We also got, like we said, Odell Beckham and the trip that everybody wants to talk about. And the NBA, people, it, to me, is what's most shocking here. I said before that it's about two teams. Well, after the trade made by the Cavaliers to bring in Kyle Korver, well, let me just say it's a foregone conclusion. We're going to get the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Golden State Warriors, a rematch in the NBA Finals. But as always, welcome to the program as well. He's all the way from the DMV. He better have some ideas because they will lock your black ass up. Washington Wizards beat reporter now as well for Fox Sports Radio. What's going on, Wally?
What's going on? Yeah, man, playoffs was something else, man. Was something else. I actually thought Miami would be more competitive. It kind of let me down. I told a bunch of people that Miami would kind of come to play, and obviously I look real dumb doing it. You know,
No. You're not dumb alone. Because I also said, remember last week we did a show. I said it was going to be the most intriguing game.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought it would be too, and I'd like to have really seen what any of these teams could have done. You can chuck it up all you want to, Mr. I hate Miami, the city that I live in, Hugo. I mean, but, hey, we will talk about it. And let's get in right now, and what everybody's talking about, and that's Wild Card Weekend, as the Packers of Green Bay put a spanking on the Football Giants of New York. And I want to say this, if it has not been said, and I know you probably said it as well, I will repeat this until pigs fly. And yes, I did watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 2. And Beat Rocksteady said, pigs don't fly. Pigs must really be flying. If you think for a second that Odell Beckham, who I've ripped continuously everywhere you can think to rip somebody, that trip had absolutely nothing to do with this team losing yesterday. This was all about the receivers themselves choking. And the baddest man on the NFL playoffs right now, Aaron Bleeping Rodgers. And I hate the Packers of Green Bay. Don't get it twisted, okay? But right now, the Green Bay Packers look unbeatable. Or will they? Let's get into this game right here. I'm going to start with you, Hugo. What's your take last night as the Green Bay Packers took on the Giants of New York? Eli Manning was said to be, by Stephen A. Smith, the worst quarterback of the top six quarterbacks in this playoffs. He had a QBR of 72.1, one touchdown, one interception. But I cannot put all the blame on on Eli Manning. I mean, he did throw for 299 yards in this game, but he was outdone by 359, four touchdowns, no interceptions by Aaron Bleeping Rodgers. Listen, guys, the Packers of Green Bay has no running game. They lose their running back. They lose their top receiver, but it doesn't matter. He is the king of the Hail Mary. Can somebody please explain to me how damn good is this guy really, Hugo, when you look at the Packers of Green Bay and the spanking they put on the Giants last night?
Well, it tells you Aaron Rodgers is definitely a bad man. I mean, look, when you have 19 touchdowns no interceptions, and how many games has it been now? I think it's been five or six. That tells you you truly are MVP quality. I mean, this dude, yes, we do know that he had a rough start to the season, which is fine, but he's Aaron Rodgers.
perhaps, I'm not going to say he is the greatest, you know, right now living quarterback in the NFL, because I'm still going to say that is Tom Brady, but he's damn close, especially with the past performances that he has had for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, can you really bet on off Aaron Rodgers? Not on, excuse me, bet off of Aaron Rodgers? No, you can't. You know, your money should be on Aaron Rodgers. I'll be honest with you, Mike. I thought the New York Giants just had it in them based on the fact that they really want the Dallas Cowboys once again. Or they really wanted the Dallas Cowboys, I should say, because they're obviously out of the playoffs now. But you know what? Green Bay are definitely justifiable to win win yesterday against the New York Giants, and they deserved it. And it's all really when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, especially with his offensive explosion. So I really enjoyed Aaron Rodgers yesterday. I love watching him play. The old Aaron Rodgers is back. I can't even say the old Aaron Rodgers because he has never been gone. He just had a little bit of a slump like all quarterbacks do. So big ups to Aaron Rodgers and his Green Bay Packers, and perhaps Dallas better be careful because the bad man is back, buddy.
Well, we're going to talk about the preview for the divisional round in a moment. As I wanted to jump in here right now for me, Micah. When you're watching this, the Packers of Green Bay last night take on the Giants, and I'll be real with you. In the first, 30 minutes? So the first 27 minutes of this ball game, I thought the Giants dominated. The score did not indicate it was 6-0. But after that moment, Aaron Rodgers came down. The Giants answered back. They took the lead in this game. And then right back, boom, Green Bay just put the smash in the mouth of the Packers, of the New York Football Giants. And I'm watching this game, and I'm saying to myself, what happened to the NYPD, this New York pass defense? It was inept yesterday, Micah. Your take?
Well, I don't know if the pass defense was solely inept. Of course, you have certain players who were doing their job, but then you see what happened when Rush Cromartie went down. When he went down, and that defense changed. You know, sometimes when you have a certain aspect of your veteran leadership on either side of the ball and you lose that, yeah, you have that coach on the sideline, but in-game, sometimes you need that person who understands things and can make adjustments personally in-game. It can be a game-changer for your defense, and I think a lot of that shifted when he went out as far as the defense is concerned. However, I think most of the problems came on the offensive side of the ball when it came to receivers not doing what they needed to do. For some odd reason, this horrible, horrible, horrible person as a quarterback named Eli Manning. Okay, he ain't horrible, but he's average during the regular season. All of a sudden knows how to put balls everywhere that they need to be, limits his interceptions and turnovers in the postseason. And for the most of the game, minus the interceptions, of course, for most of the game, Eli was doing what he was supposed to do. He put balls in places where only Odell Beckham could get it, all his receivers could get it, and they failed him. He didn't fail his team this time like he may have done in the regular season. His offensive weapons failed him. And Aaron Rodgers, to what you said, I have to say this, and I think with no rings, if we're not including team accomplishments in this, I would have to say Aaron Rodgers, man, may very well be better than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning when it comes to just being a quarterback and just – because think about it. We say that Tom Brady does more or less, right? Doesn't Aaron Rodgers have less than him? I mean, completely less than him, including no running game. They put a wide receiver as a running back, bro. Like, this season, outside of that stretch where he was actually playing like trash, once he flipped the switch, I don't think no one can stop this guy. And that's what I saw when it came to this game. I agree with you. The first half, it was pretty close, pretty tight, and then all of a sudden, the second half came, and then the doors just blew wide open, and AJ Styles' dad, Ben McAdoo, decided to go in and just they got the same haircut. I mean, come on. I don't know what happened. I don't know what adjustments he failed to make. But whoever's Spagnuolo, whatever chance he had of getting a job is gone with that performance. Well, then again, he still may get a job. But that's what I saw when I saw that game, Mike. I thought it was very good for the Giants in the first half. They missed a lot of opportunities because of the wide receivers. And then after that, man, it was just down here from there. And no, it wasn't a stupid boat, okay? One of the greatest wide receivers considering history, who I hate because he's a cowboy, did all kinds of drugs and all kinds of nonsense before he even did his game. And he went in there and did what he was supposed to do. So shut up, okay? Shut up.
And I bring that to you, Micah. I'm sorry, Wally. Wow. It's out there everywhere. The trip. And most people are saying, well, it's not the trip, but there's something easy for people to point out, the trip. And I'm looking at this like, okay, the only problem I have with the trip is the picture, because it reminds me of the picture or the video that we got a couple years back with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the hot tub together and the guy coming out the hot tub, okay? Take that where you want to take it. But besides that, I can't imagine a trip on Monday on a day off had anything to do with this team losing this game. Now, we can speak on Odell Beckham, Mr. Sure-Handed himself, Mr. I Catch Everything, including clothes from your mama, not catching the ball yesterday, but I don't think the trip had anything to do with it. Please, Wally, I don't understand people. They just flat out lost to a better team, which was the Packers of Green Bay.
Yeah, the trip had nothing to do with it. They just lost. I mean, the only thing I would say for the wide receivers and what Micah stated, they dropped a lot of football. They just didn't come to play. That has nothing to do with a trip. I mean, I'm sure they did much worse on their days off during the regular season. You know what I mean? They probably went to a strip club a couple of times. Who knows? They probably did a lot worse on their day off. You know what I mean? So I don't look at it like anything big. I mean, football players, when you give them a day off, they do whatever. That is normal.
Right.
That is nothing different. That is normal. Football players do whatever when you give them a day off. So, I mean, that's nothing out of the realm of their profession. But they just didn't come to play, man. That's all it was. Like, you know, they let Eli down. But going into that matchup, you know, like the Giants' offense has struggled throughout the most of the season. And, you know, to beat an Aaron Rodgers, regardless if he's playing well or playing sloppy, you got to score. And this team hasn't scored a lot during this little stretch in the season anyway. So it was a bad matchup for him going into Lambeau, knowing that this team hasn't scored, they don't score enough. And even the defensive ball, they still would have put their team in jeopardy to lose the game anyway. So it just was a bad matchup. You got Aaron Rodgers playing at a high level right now. It's interesting to see what's going to happen when they match up against the Dallas Cowboys, because it's going to be intriguing. Can the Dallas secondary hold up against Aaron Rodgers, or will their defense stand up? So it's just, I mean, to me, the Packers did what they had to do, and they did what they're capable of doing to a team that doesn't score.
And that's the key right there, what you said. Because in these last few games, the New York football Giants have averaged roughly 16.5, 17 points a game. And I think that's more cause for concern than just looking at, you know, the catches, the trip, and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, moving forward right now, you do have the Packers of Green Bay now going to the Cowboys next week as we get this, you know, playoff rematch. Last time these two teams met in the playoffs, it was the infamous, was it a catch or was it not a catch, in Dallas. And I know you would never probably pick the Cowboys to win this game. And I've said all, you know, for the last, 8 weeks of the season that the Cowboys are the best team in football.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about all year long, could this defense, you know, stop a major team? Now, we've looked at it again. We break down the schedule. The Cowboys played a last-place schedule. Not saying they didn't play. All their teams were not good teams. But
mm-hmm.
Aaron Blooping Rodgers is in a different place than he was earlier in this season. What do you see the chances of them beating this team, the Packers beating the Cowboys?
I mean, I would say I would give them a 40% chance of beating the Cowboys. I still think the Cowboys are a better team than the Packers. They played the right people in this hot streak, the right teams in this hot streak, and in the right environment, being home games sometimes with some of the tougher opponents. Don't forget, this team did struggle against the Chicago Bears, who wasn't one of the stronger teams in football anyway, and the Bears could have beat them during the regular season. I think the Cowboys are just a better team. They're a more consistent team. I think they'll be effective running the football and keep the ball away from Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the way the Cowboys play football, they play December football. They play playoff football. I mean, it's about ball control, about time possession. They win that battle. So if they can keep their defense off the field, keep the Packers' defense on the field, they'll be okay. I just feel like the Cowboys play a brand of football that's pretty hard to beat.
Well, that's the brand of football they play. If you want to go back and do a little bit of homework, a little bit of comparison, is the Ben Roethlisberger rookie year. It's probably when you had the bus running the ball down team's throat. And let me ask you this question, Micah, moving forward off of what Wally just touched on. I don't think that – well, let me not put it that way. To me, it's a very intriguing matchup because I think the Packers' defense is playing better than they played all year. And Now, I know the Giants' running game is not the greatest, but how do you see, Micah, the defensive line and the defense of the Packers, Micah, going against this great NFL offensive line and running back Ezekiel Elliott in this game?
Well, when I look at what they are doing on offense, what they're doing on defense for the Packers, and, well, of course, we already expound upon the greatness of the O-line and the running game of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, one thing that I'm finding here is the type of defense that Green Bay plays. Green Bay plays a 3-4. If you analyze just the basic parts of a 3-4 defense, you know, unless you have some really strong linebackers who can fill in those extra gaps between your defensive linemen and your defensive tackles, running against a 3-4 is very effective. And if you really think about it, you know, Don Capers' game plan, if he's trying to stop Ezekiel Elliott, that's the worst possible thing that he can do, because outside of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, he really doesn't have a secondary that can really stand up to Dak Prescott's smart throws. So if you put eight in the box and you drop back, if you think you're going to stop the wide receivers that he has in Cole Beasley and Jason Witten, Dez Bryant when he's not dropping passes, you know, you got to pick the poison. And if I am Green Bay, my goal is to stop Ezekiel Elliott. But Ezekiel Elliott has, because of the offensive line, has been beating eight-in-the-box sets, eight-in-the-box fronts. So I'm thinking in this particular case, as we continue to talk about this throughout the week, I see Dallas offensive line firing off the ball and playing inspired ball to prove why Ezekiel Elliott is who he is, even with a great offensive line. So Green Bay was led to some decent runs, gashed them. But like we said, they don't have the talent. They don't have the offensive talent New York Giants did. They didn't have the offensive talent as far as the line and the running backs to really do damage as Dallas will. So I have to give that my point as far as points and keys to the game. I have to give that one to Dallas O-line and Ezekiel Elliott. They're not going to stop them.
347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Hugo. Now, I'm looking at this game next week, and I'm excited. And this is not two teams that I historically hate. I hate the Cowboys. I hate the Packers. This is going to be an awesome football game to watch because it's a lot of unknowns in this ball game, Hugo.
What I love about the playoffs, though, guys, and I think you guys could perhaps agree with me, is that it's a clean slate. You know, it's a clean slate for everyone. You know, everyone's back again. You know, they're vying for one possession, and it's a one-off game, and anything can happen in a one-off game. We were just talking about Aaron Rodgers, guys. Six games, 18 touchdowns or 19 touchdowns, no interceptions, some ridiculous number like that. Can you really bet against Aaron Rodgers? I know the Dallas Cowboys have been explosive all year long. Yes, we all hate the Dallas Cowboys. We love to hate the Dallas Cowboys. And there's nothing.
Well, we're not Vaughn. Vaughn's waiting for this moment. Vaughn's been waiting on this moment for what, 3-4 years since that game in Dallas?
Right. Exactly. And you know what's going to happen again, Mike? With a rookie quarterback in the playoffs against Aaron Rodgers. The pressure could mount on him, Mike. I'll be honest with you. It would not surprise me if the Green Bay Packers do go into Dallas and stick it straight to them. I'll be honest. It's brand new for Dak Prescott. He did it beautifully for 16 games. How is he going to fare in the playoffs? Only time will tell, but it's going to be a fantastic game. It really is. And you know what? Regardless, whoever loses, Rodgers is going to sit there and laugh at him. It's
going to
be fun. So.
I'll be honest with you guys. The fan in me, I truly – somebody asked me the weekend, well, why do you hate the Packers so much if you're an Eagles fan? You know, and I'm like, well, I grew up in Chicago. All my family is Bear fans. It's like growing up, in my opinion, in New York, you just automatically hate the Boston Red Sox, you know? So – but in my division, I hate the Cowboys as much as I hate the New York Yankees. I don't know who I hate more. I can't cheer for either team, but I would like to see the Dallas Cowboys lose. I don't think they will, though, Micah. I just don't think – I really do think the Cowboys are a special team this year, and I'm going to go with it. Like I said in the beginning of the year that, you know, I thought Pittsburgh would get there. I had all Pennsylvania. No, that was last year. Who did I pick in the NFC this year to go to the Super Bowl? It wasn't a Giant. I mean, it wasn't the
I thought you picked Packers and Pittsburgh this year.
I picked Packers and Pittsburgh? Wow.
I know you picked Pittsburgh for the AFC.
Right.
I think you did pick the Packers for the NFC, bro.
Wow. If I did, that was beginning of the year. At the end of the year, I've been saying for the last 3 weeks, it's the battle of America's team, Patriots versus Cowboys. I still think that's what America has to see. Nothing will beat that Patriots versus Cowboys, other than a World Series of the Yankees versus the Cubs. That's the only thing that will break any box office. Yankees versus Cubs, I think, will be a bigger rating than Patriots versus Cowboys. But time will tell, and we have to see on that one. But I got to take my attention to the most boringest game of the weekend. At least it was to me. And that was the Oakland Raiders taking on the Houston Texans. I have never been more sad to see a good team that played their hearts out all year to lose their starting quarterback a week before the season ending in the Raiders to have to start a rookie. Everybody want to get on Connor Cook and how bad he performed in that game. That was his first NFL start in the playoffs, okay, against a Texans defense, which isn't bad, okay?
Hold on. People were blaming him. There were actually pundits out there that were blaming Connor.
When I say pundits, to me, pundits is us. We're media.
Fans were blaming Connor Cook,
or fans were getting on Connor Cook, shall I say. But
those fans are stupid.
Well, most fans are. Okay, they really are, because, you know, and I can, me and Hugo got into it earlier there, you know, and I had to call and explain, like, I'm not saying Tim Tebow is a great NFL quarterback, but I still think he's a winner at life. He said, okay, we put it that way, that makes sense. Don't you dare say he's a great NFL quarterback. Okay, you got me. He's a winner. He went 10-6, and he won a playoff game. That's more than a lot of quarterbacks have done, including Tony Romo. No, I'm just joking. Tony Romo did win a playoff game eventually. But the Raiders go down to Houston, and I think the biggest story in this game, honestly, is to me how good Osweiler managed the ball game. I mean, he only threw 25 times, but he was 14 for 25, 168 yards, a touchdown, a quarterback rating of 90. But the question now lies is that can the Houston Texans win their next game, Wally?
No, they can't. Osweiler played the Oakland. See, what they about Oakland? Oakland's defense isn't special, so it's
no.
not hard to put numbers against Oakland. To be honest with you, not
still,
a great
Oakland.
Team.
Oakland was like the Cubs this year. They overachieved faster than what they said. So Oakland's next 2 years will be the team that you want to talk about. They overachieved this year, Wally.
Offensively, that's how they go. And the defensively, they got pieces they need to. They got players they need to add to this team to be a stout defense. Obviously, they got Mac and Irving who are really good. So they're good right there. But Houston, they did well. They stepped up. You had Clowney play good football, and I'm happy for the kid because a lot of people were ragging on him, and now he looks like that player that everybody hoped he would be. Defensively, they're a tough team. The only thing, again, it goes back to quarterback position. The competition goes up. You're not playing a sorry team or a sorry quarterback. You're going to play a good competition in terms of who you play next. So, to me, I just think it was one and done, something that Houston normally does in the postseason anyway.
Anyway.
Out in the first round at one and done. So,
right.
But, again, if I'm a Houston Texans fan, I'm happy with the season. You know, I got to the postseason.
So are you happy with your quarterback? And that's the question.
He's spending $74 million? No, you're not. The quarterback position in today's NFL, I think everybody has to realize it. And, you know, you're going to overpay a quarterback. It just says that's what it is. To keep a quarterback or to have a quarterback you want to have continuity with, you're going to keep him and you're going to overpay him. That's just how the market is nowadays because there's so many bad quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, it is. So an average quarterback or a good quarterback is paid as like a franchise quarterback. And so that's the problem. That's what we have right now. So anytime a quarterback shows you any type of talent or shows you, you know, a good run in the season, you're going to look at him like, oh, I got to lock this guy up. Or I got to sign this quarterback who's on the market for a lot of money. And Osweiler is that quarterback. But again, if I'm a Houston Texan, I'm not looking at Osweiler as my quarterback of the future. I'm going to look elsewhere eventually.
But that's the thing. Are they looking elsewhere? And then, of course, they got to get to the season, right? Anything is possible.
Yeah.
Kevin Garnett taught me that so well, and so elegantly, by the way. Anything is possible. I think it was the fakest. I love Kevin Garnett, but I will never get that celebration as long as I live. That was so – you got paid to do that, and it was like he was talking and he forgot to do it. Like somebody said, yo, you gotta get that, like, you know, like we're going to Disney World kind of a thing. So I would never forget that. But he said the truth. Anything is possible. Micah, is it possible, when I say anything is possible, that the New England Patriots trip up this week against the Houston Texans? I don't think so. I think, again, like the game Houston just played in, that might be the most boringest game of the weekend. But that's hard to say after we said the Giants get demolished by the Green Bay Packers. What is your take?
I really wish you could see my face right now when you're presenting that question. I am giving you the Stephen. I'm giving you one of your forefathers' looks. The Stephen A. Smith seriously look, because we already know.
Not the Rasha Nesterovich look. Rasha.
Yes. Whatever the heck that is. But no, I mean, we already know this is a layup. This is going to be a layup for the New England Patriots. In fact, New England Patriots probably got the easiest road to get to the Super Bowl because Kansas City and Pittsburgh are going to beat up on each other. And trust me when I tell you.
Well, Pittsburgh's already beat up. And Kansas City's already beat up. I mean, they got some of their top players hurt as well.
Exactly. So this is going to be one of the easiest roles that they're going to have. Not that they needed it, because we already know what they're going to do as a team. And to be fair to Brock Trashwaller, Osweiler.
Brock Trashwaller. I like that. You are good today. Go ahead.
Just saying, you know, he did win the division. First of all, the division was trash. So if you didn't win that division and you had the best defense in that division and you sucked and you lost, something wrong with you. Anyway, let's be honest with him, okay? Let's be honest when it comes to Brock Osweiler and what he has done. All right, this was officially his first season starting as an NFL quarterback, was it not?
Right,
A full season. A full season. What we saw from him last year was because he had some of the tools in place. He had a good running game, a great running game, and a great defense, most of all a great defense, to back him up and minimize the mistakes that he was able to make, because him and Peyton Manning were the same quarterback that year, if you really think about it statistically. And so when we see what he did with the Houston Texans, I look at it kind of like, not comparing him, but I look at it kind of like what Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins came in the season. He started to see – he didn't really start the season, so he looked good, so they went on ahead and went with him. He did what he did. It was decent. It was okay. Somewhat trash, but then he got that next year under the belt. Oh, here we go. He got a division going. Okay, next year, dude almost passed for 5,000 yards. And you know, granted.
Are you saying that you believe in the future of Brock Trashwaller, as you just named him?
No, I don't believe in him at all. I believe he's trash, but at the same time.
But he's 6'7". He has a monster arm.
He throws
the quarterback like Doug Flutie, like he's short behind the line of scrimmage. I'm just saying, I've never seen more bears batted down. Didn't somebody say that during the game?
There's plenty of quarterbacks who are big and had great arms.
DeMarcus Russell?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Fantastic. See, you and me are here. We went there with a wavelength. But I think that before anybody, including Houston Texans fans, jump the gun, I believe that a guy like Brock Osweiler just needs another year under the system and another year or two. But if Savage beat him out, How good can he possibly be?
But Savage didn't beat him out. Savage, he got benched during a game. He threw two interceptions in first two possessions, and he got benched for the game. He was playing poorly. And I'm going to say this much to the Houston Texans fans out there, and I got some real good fans in Houston, and I was a fan of Brock Osweiler when he got drafted. I thought he'd be good. And it's another thing. It's another thing to be said about quarterbacks that sit behind Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You feel me, Wally? Like, what the hell are you learning from Peyton Manning that you're this bad? You know what I'm saying? Like, you sat behind Peyton for, what, 2-3 years? And what did you learn? There's no way you didn't learn. You know, Aaron Rodgers didn't learn from Brett Favre. But let's keep it real. And that's another thing, and that's what I was talking about today, about how Brett Favre is loved, but yet Terry Lawrence is still having a difficult time getting into the Hall of Fame, even though he's a finalist. It's asinine, if you ask me. But
and Brett Owens didn't show any special pictures to ladies.
He did not show. All he did was sit ups and make a couple quarterbacks cry and call them homophobic slurs. You are absolutely right. But my point is this one, guys. Houston's defense is for real, Wally. Houston's defense is for real, Micah. Houston's defense is for real, Hugo. And I think before it's all said and done, I know I just echoed maybe the most boring game because I think New England has the potential of really making this like a 35-10 ball game because of the inept of the offense of the Houston Texans. But Hugo, can we not put any credit or not any credit, but can we not say this can be a tough game because of the defense and how well the defense with Jadeveon Clowney finally playing up to his potential going against New England, Hugo?
Come on, Mike. It's at the end of the day.
Come on, Mike.
Patriots. Come on, Mike. Yeah. I mean, I know that.
Come on, Mike.
We're trying to do radio, and I understand we're trying to make the best of it. But it is the New England Patriots. It is Tom Brady.
Oh,
well,
hold on. Stop right there. We're not everybody's radio. If we think somebody's trash,
I mean.
Somebody's trash.
No,
okay.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean. We're trying to make the best out of a conversation and see if there's an avenue for the Houston Texans to try to come out to Foxborough.
And you said there's no avenue.
Successful.
There's no avenue to go into Foxborough and win this game.
Not at all. I actually would bank more on Pittsburgh to do it over the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they're the only ones with a remote chance to beat New England at Foxborough.
Well, let's go there right now. We know Seattle's going to Atlanta, and I remember to their earlier year this game. We got Miami losing, which, you know, myself and Wally were fools, you know, and you told me all year. But I got to say faithful, Wally. You stuck with Oakland, and I stuck with Miami, and damn it, we stuck with them through the playoffs, okay? But
yes.
Pittsburgh, Kansas City, that's the marquee game next week, is it? Because Seattle defense going against to me, who should statistically be the MVP of the 2016 NFL season, the Atlanta Falcons, is also a good game. But let's go right there where Hugo just took us at, Wally. Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Can the winner beat New England?
Yeah, I think Kansas. Well, I'll say this: I think Kansas City is in a realm that can actually do it, because I just like their defense. I think you got to have a defense that can kind of frustrate Tom Brady a little bit. It all starts there, and obviously since Gronk is still out, right? Am I correct?
I believe so, but I also believe that next week in Houston, from all signs are reporting that we really might get J.J. Watt playing in that game.
Oh, that'd be something else too. But if you got Gronk out. And then you got Kansas City and Pittsburgh. Look, their D looks like they stepped up, but Pittsburgh offensively, I think, can do some things to New England's defense. And I think Kansas City can bother Tom Brady. You got Eric Berry, one of the best safeties in the game, and I forget the young kid, the cornerback. I forgot his name, who's probably one of the better cornerbacks in this game too, as well. That can like he's been getting interceptions left to right. I want to say Peterson too. I think his name's Peterson. You got that secondary combined with Ali as a pass rusher. You got things that can definitely frustrate Tom Brady. We all know if you can hit Tom Brady at a consistent level and your defensive line wins against their offensive line, you're in good position to compete with the New England Patriots. So I do think Kansas City more than Pittsburgh can really compete with them. But Pittsburgh, they bring that offensive firepower and that will to win in that team that's been there before with Big Ben and Mike Tomlin. To me, you know,
not Mike Tomlin, the coach that gets the most underrated coach in football that people say that drove me crazy when I heard Terry Bradshaw say that.
You know what? I'm gonna say I'm on the side of the overrated talk, but I do give credit when credit is due. As a motivator, he's a great motivator, and there's nothing wrong with being a motivator as a coach. I feel like that's an underrated thing.
You think so too? You think Tomlin's overrated?
I think to a certain extent, yes, to a certain extent. I feel like I'm fair of mine. Like I tell people,
you are very.
I'm fair. Like Tony Dungy, like one champion. Like Jay Gruden, John Gruden stole Tony Dungy championships. Like his championship.
Absolutely.
Like,
but that's why I can't stand how Jay Gruden gets so much love. I 100%
yeah, exactly.
agree with that.
John Gruden, totally agree.
Because when that team left, what did he do?
Yeah,
he did nothing
exactly.
with that team.
And I agree. I totally agree. And I said Mike Tomlin, the way the Steelers run their offense, that's a good. Like when he won his first Super Bowl, that was still pretty predominantly what Bill Cowher did and Dick LeBeau. That was pretty much what it was. And then after that, still competed. But I always felt Pittsburgh is always they've underperformed. Like they're a good team.
I agree.
I always feel like
they
always compete. And there are years they struggle to get to the postseason. And you don't say that about New England. You don't say that about anybody else. But Pittsburgh struggles at times to get to the postseason.
Well, add this caveat. Some people say that division is one of the hardest divisions in football, minus the Cleveland Browns.
I totally agree. I think it is one of the tougher divisions in football. But I've seen games when they lost some teams they shouldn't lose to. Like, I just feel like they're a team that should always be fighting for a Super Bowl or an AFC Championship game. I feel like they're that type of team.
Well, is Pittsburgh the Green Bay of the AFC where, I mean, you look at both those two teams and what you just spoke about, always competing. I think certain teams, right, and I think Seattle falls in this category as well.
Yeah,
it's a
totally
switch
agree,
for certain teams where they just – Mike always says they play down to their competition, right? If the competition sucks, they're not interested, shall we say, right?
Agreed. Totally agree. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I look at Pittsburgh kind of like I think most people do. I mean, I look at them like every year, you're right, they're going to compete for that division, and they should compete against them. Every year they should be a top contender because their organization from top to bottom is just – phenomenal.
It's perfect.
It's perfect what they do.
I think
they are. I think Terry Bradshaw is drinking too much. That's just me.
Exactly.
Mm. Well,
I'm pulling the black coaches. So maybe that's also in there somewhere also.
I think Terry Bradshaw was over the top what he was saying. I think he has some. There's some truth to it, but he's over the top. I call him a cheerleader. I think that's disrespectful. Like, you don't call anybody a cheerleader. He's a motivator. It's different. Like, he motivates his players. His players play for him. Anytime you get your players to play for you, you're a good coach. They play for him. They relate
to
him.
If you never have a losing record, you are a good coach. You never have a losing season ever.
Well,
in the
Barry Switzer, was Barry Switzer a good coach?
I say no. I'm going to tell you why I say no. Because didn't the Cowboys win, like, all those Super Bowls and he came in and didn't do nothing?
And he won a Super Bowl. And he won a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl that one year.
But he won it with Jimmy Johnson's team.
Exactly.
That's why.
That's my point. Is he a good coach to you though? When it was his team, was he a good coach?
I thought Barry Switzer wasn't, but again, I was younger and I was a lot more hater than I am now. So on the surface, I'm gonna say, I'm being honest. I was younger then. You know what I mean? And so I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say yes now. Looking back, but it's something to answer that question maybe again later to think, was he and Dallas Cowboy fan says Switzer was not a good coach, and that's coming from King Ron Jr. 720 on the Twitter, says no, he wasn't a good coach.
So a lot of people wasn't a good coach. So a lot of people he wasn't. I'm not saying that Mike Tomlin's a bad coach. That's not what the argument is. I don't think anybody should call him a bad coach because he got his guys to ball for him. I think that's very important. But I do think that, you know, one, if you look at what he came in for, he came from the Tampa 2 system. So basically, he kept the 3-4. I think that's a smart dude. I don't think that's bad. I think it's smart. He's a smart dude. He was like, you know what, Dick LeBeau, you're a 3-4 dude. I'm not gonna mess with it. I'm a Tampa 2 guy. He just stuck with what it was. He stuck with the defense. There's a lot. So I understand where Terry Bradshaw is coming from because he's thinking like, this is a defensive minded coach. He's not really implementing his own defense into the team. Again, I'm not knocking him. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think it's smart. A lot of times you get alpha dogs who, this is my defense. This is what I like to run. I'm going to change this thing up. I'm going to run a Tampa 2 defense. No, Mike Tomlin's smart enough to say, you know what? This ship has been good before I came in here, and it works well doing it this way. I don't think there's nothing done with that. I think that's very intelligent.
347-637-3859. We don't want to give too much away into Friday's show as we pick the winners of divisional winning weekend. So I will stop right there, and I want to turn our attention to tonight's college football game, because it is the best and worst of the weekend. And I think the divisional playoffs of the weekend, North Carolina Dame, they are putting over 100 points in a win over North Carolina State. What's going on, Collins? You don't want to talk to me. You want to pick up your phone. You know North Carolina went that ass like a dribble over the weekend, but it's okay. Maybe if you had to play it on Saturday and then had that game postponed, maybe I wouldn't have got your butts whipped so bad, but you did. But college football playoffs championship is tonight. Alabama versus Clemson, a rematch, Hugo. I'm excited. I watched the game last year as an Alabama hater, and I mean, yes, it's cool to say Roll Tide. Yes, it is. But before I knew anything about Alabama, I was still always I was always like an Auburn fan because that's where I know Bo Jackson went to Auburn and as well as Charles Barkley. So I was kind of, you know, pulling War Eagle over that. This game tonight, however, I think Clemson gets this game because I think, how do you beat Alabama? You got to have offense. And I don't think Alabama has the offense this year as they had last year to compete with this team. I'm taking Clemson to win this game by 35-24 in this ball game, Hugo. How you got this college football rematch championship going tonight?
Well, to me, the national championship is the greatest football game, you know, in both in pro and college. So I'm always excited to see the national championship, whether it's Alabama, regardless. Hey, listen, you can hate, but at the end of the day, Alabama is Alabama, and that's a team that definitely could probably beat, like, for example, a Cleveland Browns of the NFL or a Jacksonville Jaguars in the NFL. We've had that debate before. They're always such a delight to watch, and I know people hate them, but at the end of the day, you cannot hate on what they do. Yes, you can hate them for – I guess their fans are –
I can hate on anything.
There,
I can hate on anything.
But,
I can
but,
hate
yeah,
on
but,
anything.
But
is it,
the day, listen,
is it right to hate a winner? Probably not, but I can hate on anything.
No, yeah. I mean, we try to hate on Tom Brady, but we still come back on the show and we say that he probably is the greatest quarterback ever. But at the end of the day, though, Mike, listen, Alabama, I think the one weakness, or not the weakness, but the way that you could actually beat Alabama is going to be with a deep ball. If you actually do throw a deep ball, I think you could definitely beat Alabama. Washington in the first quarter on New Year's Eve, they tried to turn on the gears, but just that defense from Alabama was too much. And Clemson, man, Clemson has been up and coming. I know since last year when they went to the college football championship final. It's going to be a good game. I still don't see Clemson winning it. I'm going to go with Alabama, but it's going to be tighter than what you think.
You're an Alabama fan, ain't you?
No, I'm not. I swear to you that I'm not. I just can't.
I know. You're Oregon fan. I know. And Oregon sucks.
But, Mike, really quick, on Clemson, though, man, what they did to Ohio State on New Year's Eve, they're dangerous. That's a dangerous squad. And Alabama, obviously, they're going to know that they're no pushover. Can Clemson beat them? Yes. I just think Alabama has just more to offer than what Clemson does. If Clemson gets started early, like you said, on that offense, putting up points in the first two quarters, they definitely have a very strong chance. But I don't know, man. Overall, over 60 minutes of football, I think Alabama's going to edge it out. And I'm going to go with a 24-21 win for Alabama. It's going to be close, but Alabama wins it at the end, 24-21.
Micah, how you got this championship game going tonight? I mean, let's be real. Besides Monday Night Raw, there is no Supergirl. There is no other shows to watch tonight. The world will be watching this football game tonight.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'm definitely flipping back and forth, and I may not even flip back and forth. I may have the multiple screens going at the same time, football.
About time?
Screen.
I do it all the time. What do you got, Comcast?
No, yeah, I do, but what I do is I have,
yeah,
you
put
know,
that
I
app up.
I have Emmy Richmond TV, and then I have regular TV, so I can watch those. You know, I do. But here's what I'm looking at tonight. First of all, I'm looking at all these dumb fans of Alabama and all these dumb pundits who made a big deal out of nothing when a dude cut another dude's junk on the field at the Ohio State Clemson game. Like, that was the reason why Ohio State lost. Ball cupping. Good job, guys. That's the reason why Ohio State got destroyed, because a dude poked another dude in the butt. No, that's not why they lost. It's harassment. Shut up. Anyway, man, I hated this last week of football coverage because they were so stupid talking about it. Here's what I think is going to happen. If you really look at the Washington-Alabama game, what ended up happening here was that defensively, was the reason why they were able to pull up the game and go up the score that they were able, because they was capitalizing on all the mistakes that Washington was making offensively. But if you look at what Washington's defense did to Alabama's offense, you know, you could use the excuse to lane shift it or not. You know, at the end of the day, their offense, I think, scored no more than 20 points as an offense. I'm thinking it's 20 points. It may have actually been 13 as an offense. And if it wasn't for the defensive scores, the game would have been much closer than people would have imagined. And, of course, when you have close games like that, that motivates college kids a lot differently. And so what I see here is that Clemson has a better defense, in my opinion, than Washington does. So if they offensively really couldn't put up like 20 points against Washington, then how much less are they going to put up against Clemson? And I think Clemson's defensive line is going to hound her. They're going to put that boy down.
You know what? And I think right there, Mike, I'm going to cut you off. I think Clemson's defense is underappreciated and undervalued in this game as well. I spoke about their offense. Most people said their offense, but Clemson's defense is no joke, Micah.
No, no, and that's exactly, and I'm agreeing with you. And what I think is going to happen is that Clemson's going to find out, even with that big bruising, you know, offensive line that Alabama's supposed to have, that also like got Jalen Hurts rushed a lot of times against a smaller, quote unquote, less strong Washington defense. You know, you put those four, the front four of Clemson against that O line. I think they're going to have some trouble, and I think Hurts is going to be getting hurt. Not out the game, but he's going to be getting smacked around a lot. And I also think that that's going to limit his option pass the game. Because once Clemson knows that all they have to do is just rush four people and they can get to you, that's a wrap when it comes to your pass the game. So they need to do, in order for Clemson to pull this game out, which I don't think they're going to do, I think Clemson's going to win this game. In order for Alabama to win this game, they got to put the ball in the hands of Scarborough. Because we saw what he did when they started giving him the ball and started feeding the rock, and a lot of the good plays, a lot of the good positive plays they had came off the heels of him going off. So if Alabama can get him to go off, get that running game going off, they'll be fine. I doubt it, though, because I believe Clemson's defense is for real. And I also believe in Deshaun Watson. I believe in the two quarterbacks. I'm picking him over Hurt. I'm picking the wide receiving core over the Alabama secondary, because I believe if anything is weak, and that's not their weakest part, but you can attack their secondary very well. If Ole Miss can put up 40 on that secondary, then Deshaun Watson can definitely put up some points on the secondary. Give me Clemson by two touchdowns in this game.
Ooh, 14. So I was being nice, giving it 11. I don't either. I don't think it's going to be close either. If I got to go Alabama's offense versus Clemson's defense, I'm giving the edge to Clemson's. If I got to go Clemson's offense versus Alabama's defense, I'm giving the edge to Clemson. And it's not my hate for Alabama. It's what I've seen lately. Okay, and I know that they lost to Pittsburgh. People want to throw that out there, but Clemson, I know Clemson played a lot of tight games, close games early as well. I just think sometimes when you're as good as Bama has been over the last decade, that sometimes you oversleep your opponent. I'm not saying they're overlooking Clemson. I just think Clemson offensive. This is not a game I believe Alabama wants to play. Wally, who wins this game tonight?
Well, first, let me say this. I'm rooting for Clemson, but I will say this. They ain't beating Bama. They ain't beating them. I can't see it.
Don't try to owe me chicken wings. Don't try to owe me chicken wings.
No, I was right about Bama last year. What are you talking about?
We had a bet this year. I think you owe me chicken wings.
No, I win a lot of bets. I win a lot of bets. I just don't act. I don't act upon them. But
I think we set a bet for this one. I think we set a bet for this one.
We can bet for this one. Give
okay.
me Bama.
Right.
So, but mm-hmm. I hope I lose a bet, but give me Bama. but you look at, you're mentioning Washington. Washington's defense is one of the better defenses in college football, period. Clemson has athletes, but their defense is, like, Washington has one of the better defense, period. Like top five in the country. Clemson's defense is fast, but they get out of place. Their defense is not as strong as last year's defense. And that's the issue with me. They've had games where they've let subpar offensive teams scoring them. Now, I know we're going to use the Ohio State as an example. Ohio State was limited. If you watch the Michigan game, you see how limited they are, period, offensively. It's probably the worst Urban Meyer offensive team he's had in Ohio State, period, and even probably in between Florida and Ohio State. Barrett can't throw the ball. If you take away him running, it's a wrap. So they knew, Clemson knew what to do against Barrett. That's why they disrespected him. They said that, you know what, you can't do nothing. You're one-dimensional. And your run game isn't even that potent enough for you to be putting damage to our defense. I just think this game isn't the best matchup for Clemson. I do think Clemson has a lot of offensive weapons, so I do think they'll give Alabama some go. I like Deshaun Watson last year going into this game compared to this year. I think he throws way too many interceptions. And in this game against the Alabama defense, he does a lot of picks. And this Alabama team, they turn turnovers into touchdowns, not into like good field position. They turn them into touchdowns. So if he turns the ball over, I could see them getting a touchdown or two in this game. I just think Alabama with their front seven, their secondary is good too. They play straight out man defense. They play press D. The key is going to be if Mike Williams can beat press defense on those Alabama DBs. If he can, it's going to be a good game. I don't expect for it to be a blowout. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, but I just don't see Alabama losing this game. I think Alabama wins this game by at least 10 points.
Wow, the opposite of the rest of us. Jay Chris from the New Twitch Radio has joined us, also co-host here of the Solon Sports. We're talking college football championship, Alabama versus Clemson. I know you're a big fan of Sean Watson. What's your take in this game tonight?
Well, first of all, how's it going, everyone? Happy Monday. Let's put it like this. What Wally said is accurate, right? Everyone probably thinks Alabama should win this game. However, you know, there's a lot of things that come into effect. And one of the things that Wally said that I agree and disagree with is that Deshaun Watson throws too many picks. Yeah, he threw too many picks this year. But he only threw four more picks than he did last year. And last year he was a Heisman Trophy candidate. So, I mean, you kind of got to balance that out a little bit for yourself. But when it comes down to it, man, I think the revenge factor, the fact that this game has Miami, Ohio State 2003 written all over it. It really does. For some, I mean, you know, Miami had everybody. They had McGahee in that. I think Ken Dorsey was the quarterback. Didn't they have Shockey
yeah,
in that one?
They had everybody. That Calvin Johnson
Jr.'s backup. They had it all. And they were the unbeatable Miami Hurricanes. And then what happened? Ohio State came in there and did their thing. Now, I see Clemson winning this game. I really do. I see Clemson pulling the upset. Just the same way Penn State pulled the upset back, I think it was early 90s. They pulled the upset on Alabama back in the day. I see Clemson pulling the upset today. And my little cousin Deshaun Watson is going to get his national championship trophy tonight. Go ahead, little cuz, make it happen.
What's the score you got? I got 35-24.
You know, I got a score of something around 30. Yeah, damn, Mike, great minds think alike. So I'm going to try to pick a different score.
Just
so
say
we don't 36, sound
same. Say 36-24.
36-25 is what I'm going to go with. 36-25 somehow, some way. I think Clemson forces Alabama into mistakes. Because really, let's be honest, the pressure is on Alabama here. No pressure on Clemson.
I agree.
Clemson made it to this spot last year. Of course, they have the revenge factor. Alabama beat them handily last year because of all the mistakes that Clemson made. And, you know, there's that whole, you know, they're the big, mighty Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide! Clemson comes in here. They're loose. I think they come in here. They play loose. I think they go down early, though. I think they go down early, but I think they come back, and I think they battle back. They force Alabama into some mistakes. We're going to see a coming out party for Deshaun Watson in a sense tonight. He's going to show his pro skills tonight. That's what I got. 36-25.
347-637-3859. I'm going to call in. Guys, over the last week, and I know this is something that out there, and if you don't know what's going on, you're about to find out right now. There's a rapper who made it famous off of ringtones by the name of Soulja Boy. There's an artist that most people would know him for no other reason, but he beat the hell out of Rihanna, named Chris Brown. They're beefing. And when I first saw this, I said, this is the dumbest ish I've ever seen. But then as I evolved and they challenged each other to a fight, I said, that's what I'm talking about. Can we stop the gunplay? Because, listen, Soulja Boy got some fans that made a little video that looked very broke back. If I'm in a bathroom with six dudes, we better not have our shirts off. That's first and foremost, okay? And this is the 21st century. Black people, learn how to hold a gun. You don't point it to the side no more. This ain't the 90s, right? Every movie now shows you how to hold a gun, okay? So they're retarded. And I don't mean that in a respectful way. But now, Floyd Money Mayweather is going to put on this boxing match between Chris Brown and Soulja Boy. Mike Tyson comes out today and says he's training Chris Brown for this fight. It's going to be on pay-per-view, Wally. I asked you the question, Hugo. Are you watching this fight between Chris Brown and Soulja Boy? Because I know I am. But I want to see if Chris Brown is gonna swim in that hoe. I'm trying to watch it.
I'm gonna watch it. I definitely am gonna watch it because it's gonna be comedy. And my team, it's gonna be great, Mike. I'll be honest with you. I want to see how crazy they're gonna get. I want to see what kind of punches they're gonna land. Is there gonna be any big jabs on there or any Hayweathers and all that? I cannot wait. When is this fight going on anyway, Mike? Because I've been trying to see when is it. Is it next week or something?
Maybe I gotta go find a link that was sent to me that because ESPN had it on their wall that the fight attention. Give me a moment to go ahead and pull it up. But did you see the workout video that Soulja Boy put together? It's like watching.
It
was literally like watching. Remember what movie was that where they were working out and his crackhead friend was working out with him with the weights? Oh God, what movie was that?
South Central.
South Central, right? It was like watching my man in South Central work out, watching Soulja Boy work out in his house or wherever house he was in. And I'll say this for the record. From what I've looked up and what I've learned and from what I can pay attention to, and again, I'm not in these circles, so I really truly don't know. But from all accounts, Soulja Boy's not broke. And I'm going to just say this to people who think Soulja Boy has no money. Soulja Boy got loot. Soulja Boy net worth, if you Google it, according to Forbes, is worth $29 million. Just because you owe debtors money, a la Tyson, a la Michael Jackson, doesn't mean you broke. Just means you owe creditors money. We all owe creditors money, but we still all got money in the bank. At least I hope you do. Wally, are you watching this fight between Soulja Boy and Chris Brown? I personally can't wait to see it.
Excuse me, I'm about to beat somebody down. Just hit my corner left.
You know how long I've been trying to fight Gucci, man?
Somebody's bumped my car. I was about to smack the crap out of this dude, man. I was like, you ain't see me in the car, dude? Are you serious?
Hold on. Hit you while you were in the car?
Not the car.
Yeah, I'm parked outside the dude. Man, he's about to get smacked. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
Hold on. I got it right here for Micah. It says, this is according to the four letter. Chris Brown, Soulja Boy signed for a 3-round boxing match. Las Vegas, a social media war between Chris Brown and Soulja Boy will apparently be settled in the ring to help with the help of boxer Floyd Mayweather. Both hip-hop stars have announced that they have signed for the 3-round bout that will be televised on pay-per-view and promoted by Mayweather's companies. Soulja Boy put up a post promoting the fight on Instagram on last Wednesday, said that in captions, it's going down, sign my contract. Soulja Boy said that Mayweather is training him for the fight that will take place in March in Las Vegas. That's all we have right there. It's in March in Las Vegas, Hugo. Are you watching the fight?
Nah, I ain't watching the fight. Nah, I mean, it's a joke. I mean, did you see the dude train?
I did. I was hilarious. It was hilarious.
That dude is anorexic. His mama didn't see him.
That's disrespectful to anorexic people. He's smaller
that is.
Than that.
He also Anna Nicole Richie stuff. Like, that dude need a rib. Like, I give him a rib. I feel bad for that dude. Like, seriously.
I'm interested because I'm going to tell you why I'm interested. I'm going to tell you why I'm interested, right? Because as I said, I get sick and tired of, you know, and it's prevalent in our community, the black-on-black crime. And I say all the time, and I think me and Watts was just talking about this last week off air, I miss the days anybody can shoot somebody. You know what I mean? Like, kick a fair one. You know what I'm saying? And I'm listening to an interview today with Naughty by Nature, and Tretch is saying, cats are afraid to take a loss. But back at you took a loss. I've won fights. I've lost fights. But I've always fought. You know what I mean? They say it in Friday Best. But to live, you need a son to fight another day. So if you lose the fight, guess what? He was a better man than you. If you shoot somebody, not only are you dead because you're going to be in prison forever, that person's dead, and we're like two families without losses, and I just don't understand it. So I think all hip-hop beef, all beef, period. You hear me calling you out, Colin Coward? I know Jay Chris had his name in that bunch first, but I since wanted to fight Rocka Flocka. I've fallen off of that train because I respect the guy a lot more now than I did before, but I still want to fight Gucci Mane, only for the reason that, yes, I know he really has bodies, allegedly, quote-unquote, but can you fight? I can box. And I think Wally I think if you give Jay Chris versus Colin Coward on the undercard and Mike Knox versus Soulja Boy on the undercard, I mean, not Soulja Boy, Gucci Mane, that's how you saw that fight right there. That's how you saw that
Gucci
fight.
Gucci ain't trying to fight nobody, man. You don't want that.
Yeah.
Gucci ain't trying to fight.
No,
yeah.
Gucci wants to Gucci wants to shoot somebody. Mike, are you watching this fight? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Wally. You're going
to
say something.
No. All I want to say, his name is Gucci. That, you know, with the softest name
you are, man. Who you got in this fight? Are you watching this fight, Micah?
Man, not only that, the dude has an ice cream cone tattooed on his face.
That's not really an ice cream cone. I'm convinced that is a drop of jizz. Yes, I said jizz on air.
Yeah, no, it probably is. And some people have to do some strange things to get in the rap game nowadays. But anyway.
Exactly.
So, first of all, I'm agreeing with you, Mike. I've won fights and I've lost fights, but I've always fought as well when the time came for it. I always felt like more of a man when it came down to it. And there was only one time where I felt like the other option was an option for me, but that was only when defending my house. That's the only time, because I don't know what those people that coming in my house got. So, anyway, but that's another time for another story. This fight is going to be hilarious, and I want to watch it on M.E. Richmond TV because it's going to be fantastic to see Soulja Boy get his butt handed to him by a real man, a real artist who can actually do things for his brand musically and not just make a bunch of tattoos and do decent marketing. So Soulja Boy's going to get that work because Chris Brown actually has, it may not be extensive, but he actually has a kickboxing background, so he understands fight stance.
Does he really?
There's some videos on YouTube where you can find Chris Brown kickboxing. And let's also think about it.
We talk about Chris Brown and Soulja Boy with the hands. Hey, you know how funny this is for real life? Like, this dude puts his hands up. Well, we didn't call Chris Brown a real man. He put his hands on a chick. This is hilarious to me. Like, Chris Brown is, like, the funniest dude.
I feel that, but if we understand the circumstances, because these situations, domestic violence is a situation where it's a snowflake situation. What I mean by snowflake, I mean that each situation is different, and each situation doesn't always mean that because the man put his hands on a woman that it's always his fault. And what I want to make sure we start clearing up in our society is that there are times when a woman purposely starts it, knowing how society is going to react when the man finishes the job when she started it. Or when she's being all extra aggressive, he's not trying to do what he knows he's going to do.
Now, listen, I'm going to be real with you
because I'm going to keep this 100. I had a girl who like wailed on me, hit on me, like you just said, and all I did was walk away, and she was aggressive and did everything. I'm at that time I was 220 plus. I would kill that chick. Like I'm just saying, I could kill that chick. So I know because of my strength of who I am, like what I can do. So I purposely walk away. So I can never ever. I know what you're saying. Like I've grown up to a point to say like, you know what, there's situations that happen, and I understand a knee jerk reaction. I do understand knee jerk reactions, but at the same time. You won't have what he did to that chick. You won't ever have me say like, you know what? There's certain situations that play a part.
Yeah.
He could have stopped that punch number one. He could have stopped that punch number two.
But I think that's where Wally was touching on. That's how I was going. Like I'm all for. Let me rephrase that because that's going to come out wrong. Because my wife says this. I have daughters and I have sons, and I do feel the need that if a woman puts her if a woman puts her hands on a man should defend himself. However, 99.8% of the time, that dude is bigger than that woman. And to put her in her place, maybe group, you know, grab her up, maybe. What he did to her was very uncalled for. That wasn't just a punch to get off me. That wasn't a baby boy, you know, Jody getting his butt whipped and he, get off me, Yvette, you know, with a back slap. That wasn't that.
It was
a full-on punch attack. But, you know, that's we talked about that 2 years ago. You know what I mean? But with that being said, I will get Justin's in here real fast. We can move on. Soulja Boy versus Christopher Brown. I mean, Micah just said he beat Rihanna's ass. Can he beat Chris Brown's? I mean, can he beat Soulja Boy's ass too?
Probably could.
Let me be perfectly clear and honest with you. Okay, I am very intrigued about this fight.
Thank you. How can you not be?
Right. Let me tell you why. I'm intrigued about the fight for many reasons. One of them being the fact that you have two artists who, you know, whatever the issues were, but whether they be real or not, they're going to see each other in the ring, and not put it on record and let us
on the street, right?
You know what I mean. So that's one thing. The other thing is, you know, they got Soulja Boy pulled in Floyd Money Mayweather, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. You know, I guess that was all for show. But then Saturday night, I see this tweet from 50 Cent where he's talking to Mike Tyson. He's like, look, you know, Soulja Boy got Floyd. You know, how about you train Chris Brown? And Mike Tyson was like, bet. Okay, I'm not going to say what Mike Tyson said, but let's just Mike Tyson.
I heard the video. I saw the
right,
video.
Exactly. So, you know, that they really Don King this thing up in a matter of a week. Okay, because it was literally the previous week that Soulja Boy was on Twitter ranting about Chris Brown, blah, blah, blah. And they Don King this thing up. They made a pay-per-view. I am very intrigued about this fight. I'm interested in seeing what happens. However, I am not paying to see this fight. I am not. I'm not going to pay to see it. I will wait to see it on YouTube or something else. I am not paying to see this fight because it's not a professional fight.
No. This should be on Fox.
It's like the celebrity boxing match.
It's like paying
to see that one-on-one game between Hakeem Olajuwon and Shaquille O'Neal that never happened. Mm-hmm. All right, you remember they had that on paper. That's
yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
You know, I think paying for that is kind of, I think it's a little crazy. I people will get caught up into the hype and they will pay for it, especially people that are fans of this era and this generation.
King Vaughn said Rihanna probably has better hands than Soulja Boy.
let's be clear about Chris Brown, and by no means am I downplaying what happened between the two, but they got into a fight. All right, Chris Brown didn't just beat. Maybe Chris Brown won the fight. I don't know. They got into a fight in that car. All right, he put his hands on her, and he should not have done that. But they got into a fight. I know Chris Brown comes out as a woman beater because he beat her up. And hey, if he didn't beat her up and he came out looking like her, how are we discussing this topic today? But
make it call him Lionel Richie, because we should have when Lionel Richie didn't fight back. Everybody made fun of him for decades to come. 40 years later, Lionel Richie's still getting made fun of. Hello? Is it my eye you're looking for? But I didn't punch you back. And you
keep
kicked me in my back.
Fellas, keep your hands off the ladies. Keep your hands off the ladies.
But, Hugo, I can't wait to see this fight. I'm being honest. I'm with you. I'm not paying for it, but it's very few pay-per-views I do pay for.
It's
now,
going to be a trailer.
If Mayweather is fighting, I'll pay for it. But I'm being honest. I think all hip-hop beef, all beef and entertainment should be handled this way. I really do think so. I'm giving them kudos just for that, just for giving them
enough balls to do it.
I
agree. Can you imagine back in the days if this would have happened, how many fights Eminem would have been already in it? Seriously.
Well, first of all, Eminem only battled on records with women. Eminem gets a lot of credit for how great of an MC he is, but Eminem never made fun of those dudes.
Talking about Nick Cannon.
Right. That's but other than Nick Cannon, all he did was he came at Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Pink and girls and people like that and his mama. I'll be real with you, and I'm keeping it funky since you brought that up. I'm sorry.
You remember?
I don't care how bad your mama is. Your mama. We're talking about Benzino. Let's keep it funky. We're talking about Benzino.
Oh, no,
my wife can come at Benzino.
Are we talking about in terms of that? He's a violent dude, though. He is a violent dude, though. Benzino ain't no. I'm not saying he no rapper. Benzino's ha ha ha.
Right. I got you. He didn't come at Jim Jones. He didn't come at Jim Jones because Zaymo would have whipped that ass.
I don't have any beef with actual men. I don't really remember any.
Right,
men.
That's my
beef,
right.
But nobody really true be told on a lyrical level. They don't really.
Nobody wants that.
Him,
nobody
like
wants that work. Right.
Yeah,
nobody wants that work.
Bro,
nobody wants that work.
Remember they said Drake wanted to have a rap battle against Eminem and how everyone in America laughed?
That died quick. That died quick.
They know. Like, Drake, that's not real life. Like, no one goes off the lyrical. We talk about lyrical. Nobody wants to do that.
That is real life. That's a life that Drake didn't want.
Eminem on a lyric. Nobody wants to be embarrassed. Like, no rapper wants to be embarrassed lyrically. Like, on that type of round.
We're talking about, that's the problem though. How many of these idiot rappers and these idiot entertainers we hear violence in the streets? It went to gunplay. I'm sorry, we may not like the cause of this stupid argument, and you may not like the rants that these guys go on, but I'm sorry. As much as Soulja Boy annoys the hell out of me, he really does. But I gotta give them both credit for. Hey, you know what? I'm like that. Fight me. All these white people that I've come in contact with, they want to call me the N word. When I pull my window down in my car, they don't want to put a car over. You know what I'm saying? Fight me. I gotta give them guys credit for that. They're gonna fight it out, and I'm interested in seeing it.
I have one question about these artists, and I don't expect anyone to have the real true answer. But Chris Brown has been in a number of Twitter rant beefs, if you will.
All the time, right.
How come none of these other ones have come to see me in the ring?
Well, because they don't want that work. That's obvious.
No, I get what you're saying. And maybe because he knows he can beat something. I don't know. Hold on, stop. I rewind that. He did say, let's fight the Drake. And Drake never responded to that part. When him and Drake was going at it over Karrueche, okay. I'm just saying to what he just said though. He said, "How come it never?" He did tell Drake to let's go. Most of the beef that he does have comes in. Nobody knows.
He ain't say it to Tyson Beckford. When Tyson Beckford was seen with Karrueche, he ain't say that to Tyson Beckford. I don't know Tyson Beckford's background, but he ain't say it to him. I know that.
I mean, that's like Brock Lesnar fighting Randy Couture. Tyson Beckford outweighs the hell out of Chris Brown. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Chris Brown probably outweighs the hell out of Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy probably weighs 68 pounds soaking wet.
They're both skinny as hell.
Yeah, but
Chris Brown's athletic. Chris Brown's athletic. Built to do to something he does on stage. Soulja Boy hasn't been doing nothing but sitting on his butt and traveling. That's not true.
Soulja Boy is in the studio. I had to look this up for myself because I was doubting it as well. That boy is a super producer. Shocking enough, Soulja Boy is a heck of a producer in today's world. You know what I mean? Although, you know, and that's a subject for a different show. Maybe take that to New Twitch Radio. And I'm waiting for that to come back so I can be on there to talk about really how, if you know, and Chubbs and Ali by Nature, Tretch was saying this, and I heard an interview with him about how hip hop back in the day, you went to the West Coast, you're going to get 70% West Coast music, a little bit of East Coast. You go to New York, you're going to get, you know, New York side. Now, no matter where you go, it all sounds like one long record. You know what I mean? So I'm going to give these guys props to get it out in the ring, and I can't wait. But I'm going to ask this question, guys. It's cold as hell outside. And I asked the question, because of the games we saw over the weekend, what was the biggest, coldest game you ever attended or participated in? I'm going to start with you, Wally. I know you're an athlete. What was the coldest game you can either remember participating in or actually being at the venue to see?
I'll say the coldest game I've ever went to watch, the Redskins-Seattle game when RG3 got hurt. It was cold as bricks outside. It was super cold that day. That had to be that's the coldest. I mean, as a kid growing up playing football, you know, playing in the snow was always super cold. So, I mean, that would have to be it in terms of just playing. Not just playing around shooting the breeze.
That was so fun. You didn't even notice. You're playing.
Yeah, I know you didn't, but after the fact though, when you get in the house, shoot. But that would be it though.
Jay Chris, you coach, you played. Coldest game ever.
You know, I'm gonna have to go. I've been a part of a lot of cold games coaching, okay, and my coaches make fun of me for always layering up. just, you know, just because we like to rip each other. But there's two games in particular, one where I was playing, one where I was attending, that were extremely cold. And I'll tell you about the one I was attending is when I was working security. I think it was New Year's Day. I was working security at Vet Stadium. It was the Eagles and Bucks playoff game, the one that the Eagles won at Vet Stadium the year before the year it closed. And that was a very cold game. I was down there. We had to be on the field at 12:30. The game didn't start till like 6, something crazy like that. And, man, that game was extremely cold, but it was fun. I think I'm still trying to thaw out from it. And one game that I participated in, one year I was playing ball at Eastern Shore. I can't remember where we were. I think we were in Norfolk or North Carolina A&T or something like that. And it was cold. We still, when I talk to some of my old teammates, we talk about this game to this day, where it started to snow in the middle of the game. And the wind was blowing, and it was just ridiculous. I mean, it was so bad, they probably would have stopped a football game in this weather. But we continued to play for some reason. Like I said, I can't remember if it was in North Carolina or if it was in Norfolk, Virginia. But it was freezing. And to this day, I still feel a bone-chilling cold from that day. I mean, I was layered up that day, too. I wish I could have put myself in an equipment bag or something. It was cold that day. Oh, my.
Now, for me, it's going to be a little bit different. My cousin played football. I didn't. Again, I told you guys the story. I was skinny as Soldier Boy or Chris Brown was in high school, and he tried to have me play offensive line. I said no. But my cousin participated in the Chicago City Championship, and we were at Soldier Field before it got rebuilt. And, I mean, it was just cold. And I'm watching them all. I had no long lead. And I'm in the crowd, and I mean, we're probably, because it's high school football championship, city championship, so it wasn't a state final, so it wasn't as, maybe, I don't know how packed it would, you know, maybe would have been for a state championship as a city championship, so we're like on a 50-yard line, you know, relatively close to the field. So in football stadiums, it's a different kind of wind that comes through. I guess the way the stadiums are built, it's not built to protect the wind, that's for damn sure. And it had to have been about 13 degrees outside. And we're talking about Chicago, Windy City. It's called the Windy City for a reason. The Hawk, which is, you know, slang for wind coming off the lakes, was just really, really crazy. I will never forget that day. My cousin had lost that game. But cold. I mean, it was just, how can you play football in that weather? And I know that you play football in any weather. But if there's ever day to cancel a game, if the ball is so hard, you're catching like a brick. I felt bad for the kickers. They have to kick a brick football. Because in the NFL, they keep footballs in a warmer. You know, they keep them kind of softened up the best they can. This is high school football. And it was just freezing that day. What about yourself, Micah? It's cold outside. Coldest game you ever attended? Or participated in it? Because, you know, you played in the band, so got to be some cold games.
Yeah, so I was always in the football game. And if you think about it, I was more cold than the football players, because not only was I at the game, I only had one layer of clothes on, but then I had to carry a 46-pound all-silver instrument that pretty much draws in cold and steals heat from your body every time you try to play it. So it was a Virginia State game. It was a homecoming game, actually. It was weird how the homecoming game late October was colder than the games in November, but probably because we never made it in November at the time when I was playing. So, it was a homecoming game in October, and I remember we were sitting very on those metal bleachers, and just it was just freezing. Like there was nothing that you can do to stop yourself. And then it had the audacity to rain that day, and it was just. It was almost like a freezing rain. It was ridiculous. So all my coldest moments of any sports events have to do with me holding that stupid tuba. And let's not even talk about parades. Gosh, parades. And you know what? If it wasn't indoors, the Honda Battle of the Bands that we went to, which is the Super Bowl for HBCU bands in Atlanta, Georgia, where it snowed, it was a really bad snow, and it snowed us in and delayed the Honda Battle of the Bands for a couple of days. And had the Georgia Dome not been a dome, we would have really been freezing then. So, all my stuff is March Madness related. So it's a sport. Don't judge me, Mike. Don't judge me. It's a sport.
Okay, sure. I won't judge you. I won't. I mean, what do you say, Hugo? Coldest game you ever attended?
And coldest game I ever attended. Remember, we don't get that many cold days, if at all, here in Miami. I mean, to us, 50 degrees for you guys.
You never traveled?
It's 59 right now, and I'm cold. I know it's, what, about 2 or 3 degrees where you guys are at? It's 50 here, and it's cold for us, but...
Nobody wants to hear that. He's in the same way, Wiki. Don't be making fun of our cold, okay? Because you're down there in Miami on South Beach. Go ahead.
What do you mean? I actually do love the cold weather. I really do. I mean, when I travel to New York, I try to go when it's February, when it's freezing cold. So I'm not making fun of you guys cold. I actually do love it. But there is one game that I attended to. It was 2011. Philadelphia Eagles. I went to Philadelphia just to, you know, because I never really saw the city. This is the first time that I ever went to Philadelphia, and they were playing my New York Jets. And I remember I was telling my boy, I was like, listen, let's do something spontaneous. Let's just go to the game so we could scalp some tickets. We scalped some tickets. We got there in the beginning of the second quarter. We sat up top in Lincoln Financial Field, like close to the nosebleeds, and it was cold. It was like 16 degrees to me. That was cold. And you know me living down here, I was wearing a trench coat with like layer after layer, and I was still cold. I was still cold.
First of all, why you got a trench coat?
Because, Mike, come on, man. Where I live at, I need a trench coat, man. For anything under 50 degrees, I need a trench coat, man. But that was cold. It was really cold. In fact, it was like snow flurries running down, and that was really cold for me. So it was Jets and Eagles. 2011 in December.
This just in from the UFC, Tyron Woodley, friend of the program. Tyron Woodley will be taking on Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. 2 is set for UFC 209, taking place in Las Vegas, Nevada on March the 4th. That will take place as well. But right now, guys, we'll probably be out of here in a little moment, but WWE Monday Night Raw is tonight. Started off last week. Ratings are finally back up on Raw. Raw finally took back. I couldn't believe it when I saw this, and Stephanie said it, but and I know a lot of fans out there, especially two guys here on the panel right now, said that SmackDown is a better show than Raw. Raw took the ratings back last week.
Was that real, though, Mike?
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was. SmackDown beat them for the first time, in a very, very long time. SmackDown won the ratings war. I guess if you can – how can you have a ratings war? It's the same company, but okay. Right, that's what I say. But Monday Night Raw tonight. Anything you looking forward to tonight, Micah?
I mean, I'm excited for like kind of like a couple of things. I mean, Shawn Michaels going to do a cameo.
I'm gonna say anytime the Hart. Hold on, you got the Undertaker and Shawn Michaels going to be in attendance tonight.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, and here's the thing, right? Remember we talked about last week when we talked about, you know, another week we were talking about John Cena and all the stuff we were talking about when it came to wrestling. I swear up and down, Paul Heyman listened to you and was taking all kinds of notes to use when he did bring it to the table. Because everything you said, pretty much almost verbatim, he said, minus small additions like, are you going to boycott? Just stop moaning. Stop crying. Obviously, he used a different word. But he was like, you're not going to boycott, so shut up. So that's pretty much what he was doing. And the only thing I'm going to say as that fan who he tells to shut up is I thought Undertaker was on SmackDown, digging holes and taking souls. But I guess brand splits doesn't matter to the Undertaker, which it shouldn't.
He's the Undertaker. And, I mean, WWE is going back to New Orleans where Raw is tonight. That's been announced that WrestleMania 34 will take place in New Orleans. And a lot of fans do not want that to happen because that's the place Undertaker lost his streak at. But we also got – not only we got the two icons, one Hall of Famer, one – he will be a Hall of Famer. Let's just put that there. So two Hall of Famers show up tonight. But we also have WWE Women's Championship match between Bayley taking on Charlotte Flair and Roman Reigns defending his U.S. title against both Owens and Jericho. Question I asked is if Jericho and them wins the U.S. title, do they share it like Lay Cool back in the day?
Well, believe it or not, it is a handicap match. So whoever pins Roman Reigns, if that were to happen, becomes champion.
Okay.
Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if this is the beginning of the end for Jericho. To be honest with you, I think the WWE would do something to swerve and have probably Kevin Owens pin Roman Reigns, and then you're going to start seeing the dissension between Jericho and Owens. I know it's slowly progressing to be that, and eventually it will happen, but I personally do believe that I think Chris Jericho deserves to win the United States Championship, especially after what he has done. Yes, he doesn't need the title because realistically, guys, he doesn't need the title. He's on his own. He is absolutely fantastic. He's done everything for the sport. However, I think Jericho, because of what he has been the last 6 or 7 months, Chris Jericho deserves it. I just hope the WWE doesn't say what I think is going to happen and Kevin Owens pins Roman Reigns and then we start seeing dissension. Because we cannot see dissension yet, maybe after the Royal Rumble, where perhaps they'll face each other at WrestleMania. I'm not going to say that it will happen. It's just my internal feeling that it's going to be Jericho and Kevin Owens. But I just hope it's not. And I hope Chris Jericho does win tonight, though, Mike.
Let me ask you that. Would you like to see that at WrestleMania?
I would. They're great.
Yeah, I like them. See, absolutely. To me, what's not being talked about here between us and not fans last week either, which I was excited for. Well, let me rephrase that. I wasn't excited for because I didn't know it was going to happen. But what I liked about Raw last week was when Goldberg came back, watching him face off with Roman Reigns, and then watching the monster that is Braun Strowman come in the ring. I think it's not as easy as a foregone conclusion as fans think it will be. I really think Brock and Goldberg's a WrestleMania match. That's what's going to. There's no way neither one of those guys, in my opinion, win the Royal Rumble. It's just not going to happen. To me, it's going to be Finn Balor. It's going to be somebody along that line to give you a one-on-one match, you know, at WrestleMania. Brock and Goldberg makes more sense at WrestleMania, not them one of them going for the title. I'm interested in seeing how that still pans out. I love the interaction with Roman Reigns last week in Goldberg. I'm sorry. If you're not a fan of Roman Reigns, shut the hell up. Just really shut up. They're not going anywhere. He's not going nowhere, guys. Like, don't hate him because you're not him.
I mean, it may not be that because when I was watching some of the things from last week and watching some of the bringing the table and I was trying to get all context of people's feelings. You know, I don't think it was necessarily Roman Reigns that they had an issue with. They had an issue with the segment itself because a lot of fans who are quote unquote intelligent were looking at, okay, you got this guy who hasn't done anything in 12 years. You know he hasn't done anything for 12 years. You know that we know as crackhead wrestling fans know that he didn't do anything for 12 years. And you make sure that you set it up perfectly to shock and awe everyone by destroying Brock Lesnar with a spear out of nowhere, then a spear and a jackhammer, knock it out. It's done great. Then you put him in a segment where he looks like just a regular guy. Like, but Goldberg just did all this. He shouldn't be in a segment like he's a regular guy. That's what people have a problem with. It wasn't more so Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns has his haters. I am not one of them. In ring, I think he's one of the best that they have. They just, you know, need to book him realistically. That's all I care about. Just book him realistically. And the way he's been carrying the championship and all the little things he's been doing up lately, I like that because that looks realistic. It looks like he's a guy who doesn't care about what he's doing. I appreciate that. That's how you look. You look real that way. I think that's what it was, Mike. More so that it was Goldberg looking regular and not the height as at the height and the joy and the special attraction that he's supposed to be like Brock Lesnar versus just Roman Reigns ruining the segment again. Oh, like I think it was a little bit more so for that than the other thing. That's what I think.
Well, again, I'm looking forward to Raw tonight. Probably watch it, like you said, on both televisions. I am, for the once, interested in the college football championship. I'm excited about that taking place. So before we get about it here, guys, it is my favorite part of Mondays. It is the best and worst of the weekend. Best and worst of the weekend, buddy.
Who are you starting with? I'm sorry, I was singing.
Okay, Chris, best and worst.
Best and worst of the weekend. Let's see. Well, the Sixers won, so that was pretty good. The worst of the weekend, what bad happened this weekend? I'm trying to think. I'm going to say – I'm going to say that shooting. I know this is kind of off top. That shooting in Florida and the fact that they're actually showing that guy pull out the gun and shoot now, that's awful. You know, prayers out to those victims and everybody. I've flown into that airport before and out of that airport.
Me too. Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's a little scary. I had to contact some people because I knew that they were flying out of that airport, you know, recently or whatever. So, you know, that's my best and worst of the weekend.
Wally, best and worst of the weekend?
Worst has to be... I heard that Rex Ryan doesn't want to be defensive coordinator. He wants to be like a football personality. I mean, a TV personality. It messed me up. The Redskins need him as a defensive coordinator. I guess the best of the weekend, the best news is the Redskins decided to fire Joe Barry, which was always awesome to me.
Best and worst, Hugo?
The worst of the weekend. You know what? I really don't have anything really that bad happened this weekend, though, Mike. Or besides, obviously, the awful shooting. I thought it was a pretty good weekend overall. The Lakers won. They beat the Miami Heat. And the rematch from what I saw here in the American Airlines Arena. And the best of the weekend, guys, I have to go to my sport. The FA Cup is back. The oldest tournament in the world is back. And we saw some
I thought it would be Cristiano Ronaldo being named Player of the Year. I thought that would be the worst for you.
That was during the week, so I can't call that. No, you know what? He deserves it. Cristiano Ronaldo deserves it. If you're a European champion for both club and country in one season, you can't hate. He definitely deserves to win the award. So congratulations to him. And by the way, if you saw that, by the way, if you saw the gala today, Eva Longoria was on there today. She was co-hosting, and she looked fire. I just want to say that out there. She looked fire today.
She always looks that way. Mike, best and worst of the weekend.
Best of the weekend. I'm going to start with the worst. Worst of the weekend was the Houston Texans and Oakland Raiders game. Man, just...
putrid.
Putrid. What made it even worse was how Brock Osweiler ran in a touchdown and tried to act like he was the baddest thing going. I'm like, you do realize what kind of season you just had, right? You shouldn't be all extra excited like you did something. Best of the weekend, the wonderful, wonderful weather in Virginia, giving me and my wife 2 days off, and I got a lot of gaming in. Trust me, I got a lot of gaming in over this weekend, especially since my weekend got extended to 4 days. I'm off tomorrow. Thank you, Snow. I appreciate you.
Wow, no school again tomorrow? Virginia's crazy. King Vaughn Jr. 720 says, we got a foot. And the way they handle down here, Jay Chris, makes Philadelphia and Delaware's DOT people look amazingly awesome. They're 95, they're 64, still has snow on the road. Crazy. Just terrible. King Ball G says, best of the weekend was the Seahawks and the Packers won the Hidden Figures movie. And worst was the shooting in Florida. To me, the worst of the weekend, to be a little bit different than everybody else, of course, the shooting was a very tragic thing. But I'm with you, Mike. I thought that game was just horrible between the Raiders and Houston. Just bad. Again, I feel bad for the Houston, for the Oakland Raiders fan base. 12-4 season down the drain because they lost their star quarterback, MVP candidate Derek Carr, a week before the season was over. Best of the weekend for me was North Carolina destroying North Carolina State because, hey, Collins, I'm talking to you. Pick up your phone when I call you. And also the Giants losing. Because guess what, guys? You can say what you want to say, but, hey, Odell Beckham, and your quarterback said this, not me. You talk a lot of trash, you're supposed to back it up. I wonder how that's going to go future in New York. Eli Manning said, when you talk the way you do, you got to back it up. He don't think that his quarterback's receiver core backed up all the talk they had this weekend. So with that being said, guys, we're going to get up out of here. It's Monday. I got some things to take care of. We miss you guys. We'll be back later this week. Get ready to hear some more from us. We are back as the way we should be, bigger, better, blacker than ever. Listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me. And God, that's crazy, y'all. We out of here. Fingers.
Game. We talking about practice.
Straight cash, homie. This is the Soul of Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.